future wager at 50 to 1.
You do.
I got another 25 to win.
If I don't get the first leg, Warren, I just walk home. I'm just straight out the door. I'm gone.
Hello, listeners and viewers, and welcome to the Two Units podcast. It's our very first video edition, and it's a huge show. It's a great week to kick it off. Australian Guineas weekend, the very elegant stakes headlining the card at Royal Randwick. The man to help me go through it all is the Sultan. Welcome, get ons.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's get on Sultan to you now after making the debut. But hey, this is the show we all want to hear though. Look, with all due respect to get on, this is the one going gangbusters in the Spotify and Apple sort of charts. This is your number one sort of areas.
Yeah, they call it the flagship racing podcast for a reason.
They do.
Every single racing podcast claims to be the number one. We're going to we're the flagship.
Oh, show us your analytics.
Yeah, and show us your drink bottle, because something caught my eye as I walked into. Yes. As you walked into my studio today. Yeah.
And it's good that we're being filmed this week so we can show this. And I've taken you under my wing in terms of bringing you up to speed with, you know, technological advancements and producing the show. And you've really grown into your own. But my mum, she likes buying me stuff with things on it. So Saltsy, that says, with a lightning bolt. She got me some really good American Traveller luggage once as well. But on the side it says Salts, and people look at me in the air. And Sultan on the other side. People look at me at the airport like I'm some sort of wanker, some chic sort of off to Dubai when I'm just getting on a Jetstar plane to Adelaide.
They nailed the first part. No, it's good to have you here, mate. It's good to be.
Thanks, Mum.
Good to be viewing. Obviously, if you're listening to this on Apple or whatever, we'll go to Spotify and we're living up to our name. You can turn it sideways.
We're on the YouTubes?
The YouTubes, we're on those as well. You can head over to the YouTubes, the Two Units Podcast YouTube channel, on all of our social media networks, and get stuck in.
This fresh, delicious, tasty, meaty, turkey-filled, cold-cut combo. I eat three every day to help keep me strong.
It's the supper time, isn't it? And Sandler Sticks, video or not, here he is.
Oh, yeah. Man. Oh, we don't drop Sandler for nothing.
Nah, exactly right. And look, we do celebrate the best performances or just anything that we think we need to throw arms around people. We give them a seat at the table and the supper in your name.
Yeah, so this might not be a dinner or an after-dinner supper late at night. You know, you call that supper on a school camp. This is more your morning tea sort of area. So we're talking your summer fruits and particularly nectarines. So we've experienced Nectarine Gate at the moment in Byron Bay, and an avid horse racing owner, Peter Lawrence, he tweeted the other day about Nectarine Gate that's happening up in Byron Bay. And I'll quote Peter. He's often on the front foot on Twitter, Peter. He can get very aggressive about things, and he's found another thing to blow up about. So in what would seem to be a remarkable feat, it appears that Woolworths in Byron Bay is on track to go the entire summer without ever selling a single nectarine that was even remotely ripe at time of sale. It is clear that everyone has been picked unripe and kept in cold storage. I love the first reply in the comment section. Next week on the hardships of Byron Bay, we'll be covering the elevated cost of hiring a dog walker. But you might take the mickey here, but I'm a big sort of seed fruit operator.
You're a stone fruit.
Yeah,
man.
I'm a stone fruit. Yeah, I love my peaches. Mm. Not so much peaches and cream watching this.
Presidents of the United States of America.
Yeah, millions of them.
Yep.
And I love my nectarines. Mm. And there've been few and far between ripe nectarines this summer. We hit the hard-hitting issues on Two Units Podcast, and I'm calling them out. Coles as well, Victoria Gardens. I want a ripe nectarine. I feel like they've all been frozen.
This is, the freezing's the big issue, isn't
it?
This is the first world problem.
If it bumps up the price of my nectarine, so be it, if I get a moist bite.
I tell you what, with fruit, I get turned off things very quickly in that fruit. Like, you grow up 18 years old, you have a bad night on a certain drink and go, can never touch that again.
Bundaberg. My dad said to me that when he used to drink Bundaberg rum, he used to get in blues. So when I was 17, I bought some Bundaberg rums, and the only fight I got in with them was my own brain.
Anyway, this is a weird segue, but you get turned off a certain drink for a long period of time. So mine was Southern Comfort, but I'm also like this with fruit. If I go and buy a Pink Lady apple and she's doughy, I'm done for the season. I'm off Pink Lady. Oh,
so you give them a try.
I give them a try.
Okay,
As soon as I have a bad one, it takes a bit to come back.
Nah, it's a fair call, mate. They've got to be up to scratch.
It's not up to scratch. Hey, Junior.
Why didn't you just go home? That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me. You're going to die.
Sir, one more outburst, I will strangle you with my microphone wire. You understand me?
I see no finger paintings you bring home, mate. Sir, just do it. You blew it.
Plenty to send packing this week. Weddings.
You're on the front foot here. You're angry this week.
Oh, I love weddings. Like, there's nothing better than going to a good wedding.
What are you? Do you tear up?
Oh, I went to.
I'm vulnerable.
I was groomsman at my mate Shiny's in December, and people during the ceremony were laughing at me mid ceremony. I usually call myself the Iceman, but this one got me because I was good friends with the bride and the groom. That's rare to be very close to both.
Yeah, that is a rarity.
And it got me. Anyway, I'm not sending my tear ducts packing. There's something about weddings I'm sending packing, and it's location. When you do it, it should be once only, even if that falls through. It's a one only time getting married.
Mm.
I wouldn't have thought Doomben Racecourse would be the place to go about it, Salts. Check out this video. So you can see this people here on Snapchat just absolutely loving it, filming it. There's some sort of walking down the aisle type setup. I think it's in between race 4 and 5.
So they haven't even waited till the end of the program.
Well, I think they're getting it in. I think the reception's the
quaddie. The reception was,
So I'm not sure. Like, for me, you know, I'm pretty stylish guy. Like, I got married at Mona in Tassie, beautiful museum. Like, pretty upmarket stuff. I don't want to get married before Chinny Boom runs a drum at Doomben. So that has was to it, pack now, at snags.
Have you got a gauge on it? Was it a legitimate wedding? Because I've seen the video and it struck me as, you remember, I'm not sure if you remember, back in primary school grade 4, we'd set up weddings and you'd go down the oval and people would get married. and you'd have in genuine mock ceremony. It looked like a bit of a mock ceremony.
You were ahead of your time at an all-boys school as well.
Yeah, I was married to Shanae.
Were you?
Yeah, 24 hours. That's one of my longest relationships. It's pretty good, yeah. I caught her picking her nose the next day, so she had to go.
I reckon this was fair dinkum. Just judging a book by its cover, which we should never do, that it didn't seem...
No, you should.
It didn't seem like a Bucks party. I didn't get vibes from it. Just
it wasn't cool. You're saying these people weren't cool?
Yeah.
Okay. You put your foot in there now.
Yeah, it's a big foot too. Got to go. All right. Doomben Weddings, pack them. The next one here is bots leveling up. So I don't know if you've seen some bots engaging in racing chat on Twitter or X, as it's called now.
They're all over me.
Yeah, it used to just be come see my DM baby. That was the sort of level.
Link in my Telegram.
Link in my Telegram. Now you're getting some real leveling up here, because there's one bot who continues to be attached to every thread that I'm intrigued in.
Okay.
Her name's Alexa Lake. And does have an OnlyFans, but I think it's fake. Anyway, Alexa Lake is replying to Daniel O'Sullivan, the ratings guru here, as you can see up on your screen. He's just talking about another Wheels rating from last start, Legato posting a 98.3. That would have been in the Herbie Dyke or whatever race that was run over in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Her response to Legato running a 98.3, oh my God. Like, super impressive ratings. But let's not forget Mr. Brightside and his constant high performance streak. And shout out to Estriella, Cabalis, and Amore Victorious for their big new peaks.
Botsnet, she now knows who's peaking.
I'm a little bit concerned about this bot's knowledge.
She's got a better
grasp. Does she think Fangirl's better than Mr. Brightside? Or
I might have to reach out to her.
Yeah, because I'm keen to hear what she thinks, because I think Mr. B's anytime, anywhere.
We might have to subscribe to her OnlyFans on the business account just to find out.
Because well, what might be the first horse racing sort of operator to get into the OnlyFans?
True, she's got
bit going on.
She's
there.
Got better insight than I've had in season 7 so far. I'm concerned
about Alexa.
Alexa Lake could be on the show. She's our next unit of the week. The last thing I want to send packing salts: people talking in public on their phones on speakerphone and talking and being so loud in their response as well. So the speaker is matching the height of their response.
Yeah.
So it's boisterous.
Well, it's just obnoxious.
It's obnoxious.
Yeah.
It's boisterous. It doesn't need to be done. So I'm just
woolies. I'm happy for you to have a little conversation.
I've got a guy walking around Woolies, just walking through the cereal aisle, just on his phone, talking not even about his shopping. He's talking about some works being done around his place. Okay. And he's just gone speakerphone and screaming at it.
What but about mate. If Bugalugs on the other end said something that, you know, was a cancelable offence? He's in trouble.
That's true. I'm big on privacy in phone calls.
What he, about when you call someone and they're in the car with their missus and they don't tell you?
Oh,
I've got mates that don't tell you. And then you hear them, that is not on.
It's not on at all. Yeah, because you start acting yourself.
Yeah, well, your mate's girlfriends don't know how much of a disgrace you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You do have to have somewhat of
some decorum.
It's not a facade, but it's just a filter. You got to know.
You're a bit less aggressive.
Yeah, I would have thought so. Yeah. Nah, all those things, absolutely pack your nags.
When they're galloping to the gates, there's only one place to bet. Top Sport, the home of horse racing. Whether you're a sprinter or a stayer or just a fashion-conscious player, go the distance with bigger bet limits and top odds on every race, every time. Download the app for a faster, easier betting experience. Top Sport. Feel the excitement. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
It is time for Salts Specs, as always, brought to you by our great mates at Top Sport. It's the video podcast edition of the Specs, which is nice because we'll be able to see just how keen we are this week. Just through our facial expression, Salts.
Yeah, I can feel the excitement. Luckily, there's a desk here because you'd see how excited I was, really. And luckily, there's not too much heat, so you can't. So, but basically, I'm pretty excited, mate. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, well,
it's Guineas Day.
It is. I love Guineas Day.
Oh, it's gross.
It's so good. We went. Remember, we were a bit burnt from it. So we went a few years ago when we saw Luna Fox.
Yeah, I couldn't cop it.
And we were
on Tagaloa, I reckon. Tagaloa?
Yep.
He was good in the CSAs before that. I reckon he was. Yeah. And he ran second. He's wearing the Yulong January colours by that stage.
Yeah, okay.
Am I right there?
Yeah,
I might be.
I'm just all I know was it was the only runner we didn't give a hope to.
Oh, I was filthy about it.
Yeah.
They put the blinkers on him and had 87 lengths. Got beaten 15 in a CSA.
It's $301 SP, so it's probably fair. We're no geniuses for leaving it out, but you'd be a genius if you picked it. Flemington Rail plus 2 meters for Guineas. Wind's doing a bit.
Yep, rail position negligent. I feel like the lanes will be fair. But the wind is an issue. We're talking sort of 25 to 30 kilometre southerlies with gusts up to 40, 45 k's, southerly southwesterlies. 1400 metre shoot start at their back from the get-go. On speed 1400 metres and if you're drawn out there and you're not positive, you drag back to last, you got Buckley's. If you're getting back over 1400 metres at Flemington on the weekend, you got issues. And even the mile start, it's not that big a run until they reconnect with where the 1400 metre shoot joins the course proper. And we saw it with Pride of Jenny in Cup Week. They were strong southerly days, 1,600 metres. She went forward and was very hard to catch. So I have set up this weekend for that southerly in the circle races to be favouring horses that are up on speed or on the lead. And in straight races, I have negative horses that are drawn inside barriers because that southerly and southwesterly rips across. We saw a similar breeze rapid racing outside fence fire.
Yep. No, good call. Race number one is straight up the IDW 1100 metres. And you're keen here on the Tiakau horse, who had a nice little track gallop around the valley with Imperatrix a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and we were discussing this earlier that If you watch that, same with Cinderella Days, who's in the same race, who actually shaded Magic Time in a track gallop at Sandown recently. Magic Time Group 1 winner and Cinderella Days first up for Graham Beck, jumping out very nicely and in good
him,
company.
Beat Imperatrice in that. Yeah. Most talked about trial in the world.
She's the biggest danger to Sandstone for sure. But you were talking that. Yeah. You see that track gallop at Moonee Valley, and Sandstoot was the one outworked.
So I want to humanise this because there's so many just experts. You got to know what you're good at in the form game, and track gallops. A lot of horses look good, right? They should. If you're a Saturday metropolitan runner and you're going through a track gallop, you should look good. But when I was watching the Imperatrice Sandstoot track gallop at the Valley, if you strip back their entire identities and said, which horse...
If they were non-binary.
Which horse do you want to take home from this track gallop? Nick Footler rolled in and said, I'll probably take that one and point at Sandstoot.
Yeah. Five from 13.
And I'm wrong. Yeah. And I'm completely and utterly wrong. Maybe. Maybe it was just a good piece of work.
I did morning with the Milers at Moonee Valley when the gallops were on ahead of the All-Star Mile. And every horse I saw gallop, I nearly went to one and going back on the week. And I thought, oh, geez, that looks good. Oh, that's moving nicely. Yeah. Oh, home 23 flat. Giddy up.
Yeah, it's so
but it sounds, she's flying sands too. I adore when a stable figure a horse out and they just stick to the plan. They have figured out, the TRKR team and Mark Walker, that this mare loves her run spaced and she loves the eye diddle diddle at Flemington. Two from two at Flemington, two big performances. Now she's down in the weights. She's 6 weeks between runs. Now she has had her pattern on favour the last two, but still decent form through the race. But down in the weights, the jump out between runs at Cranbourne was an absolute beauty. And Cinderella Days is the danger. Her jump out, she beat Passive Aggressive. She beat Bella Nipotina. She's beat Imperatrice. I'm Unstoppable, who jumped out really well. Her jump out was outstanding. The query is just, she's first time down the straight. She's first up. Her better runs have been at 12 and 12.50 in the past. If Sandstoot holds her rating, Cinderella Days needs to run a new peak. And if Sandstoot improves, I can't see her getting beaten. Tintuki's currently in. She's also in.
Yeah, where's she going?
Yeah, she's also in against our Coburn son up in Sydney earlier in the program. To be honest, I'm sort of on the fence where I want her to go because I don't think she can beat Sandstoot, but then I just almost want to declare Sandstoot.
You just want the W on the board, right?
I want me crack to get up for get on.
No doubt. You want a strong debut. Price doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can be like, well, I tipped it at 3:40 on Thursday.
Yeah, good. So I'm keen on her, Sandstoot, the four to kick us off at HQ.
Yeah, 3:40 on Top Sport at the moment. Best price anywhere, Sandstoot. Hey, race two, benchmark 84, 2,000 metres. It's a little two-bet play here. A rough one, Think and Fly, and you also like Aramco.
Yeah. I've just backed the map horses. Aramco goes forward. He was only nailed last up by El Soleado. That form ties in Strawberry Rock from when El Soleado beat Strawberry Rock at Caulfield. Strawberry Rock was good second up, but also hunted the fence, stayed inside on a day where the inside was fire, and gets back. Aramco gets a lead by itself. It had the pattern on side when it won two back Damien Lane on at Flemington, but it bolted in. I just loved how he toughed it out last up. There's no El Soleados here. He'll go forward. But one for Dave Noonan, who he's got flying after some so-so form, is Think and Fly. And his last two runs, the ratings he has run, they're not flukes. He was actually mimicking those performances at the back end of 21 and 22. But he's found his best form. Now he drops in the weights. He was only beaten by Station 1 in the Morong Cup at Bendigo last
country
start.
Cup's king, that.
Yeah, but there was daylight to third. So I just think he can get the back of Aramco in the run. And at the price, I thought he was over the odds. And I've made him my best result of the race by far, and I'm also just a smaller result on Aramco.
Yeah, Think and Fly, $17. Top Sport, Aramco, $2.50. Race number three, benchmark 78, 1,200 metres, and I think the English cricket team's named this horse, Carcelty.
Yeah, they might have, Moral Force.
Yeah.
I saw Benny Stokes talking about, even India admit that, that was hard work to beat us in that game. Yeah, well, they've flogged you in the series. You won one session. They won one session in the first test. And I think they've reinvented test cricket. There's that many sessions in a game, it's not funny. But Moral Force, we speak of, the nine, a freshen up, was very good in the Port Ferry Cup against an absolute swimmer in Brunking Three Horse Field, led them up.
And then they were abandoned straight after that. She was a bottomless deck that day.
And first up, though, off a long spell and an injury, It was dynamic. Beat Thunder Point running the fastest close of the day at Warrnambool. Thunder Point's won a couple of races since. His jump out between runs off of Freshen Up was an absolute doozy. His negative is drawn inside, but Ivan's Hero, who's also jumped out well, has drawn one inside him. So I'd love them to just keep, I think Freddie Kersley in the saddles rode him a couple back this preparation. I love him to keep Ivan's Hero to the inside and just get a bit of protection from the wind. And geez, he can let rip off of Freshen Up here, the nine.
Yep. Moral Force, the nine in race three, $6 Top Sport. Race five, the off-the-track sprint. It's for the three-year-old fillies. It's a handicap.
It's a good race.
It is a good race, 1,100 metres. You know there's a girl here who I think I've put in Footy's Follows about three times now. She's almost a Hall of Fame inductee into the Footy's
is
Follows.
Pink?
I speak of Moesha. Oh, okay. yeah, look, she...
It's Moesha's Follows, that show.
Yeah, it is. I just put up Moesha every time. Even her Hamilton win, I was like, look at Moesha.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she was unlucky after that Sandown, oh, yeah. So it was a good follow.
She's unlucky to her pattern as well. Well, though, there's a bit of a byproduct of that, isn't it? Like, she was an eye catcher, though, first up in the Kevin Hayes, 3.4 lengths off Estriella, back to probably the inferior going as well. Cut back,
most
to
definitely the inferior going.
So, yep. I really like that. I think if this form stands up, then you're going to have confidence if you're keen on Estriella later in the card. So Glamorous came through that race as well, ran on really well last week. So, that form somewhat being franked, that was in the Angus Armanasco. I'm really keen on her up the straight, Moesha. Getting 460 on Top Sport and excess as well for me. So it's just, I don't want to lose on her. She had two jump outs. We spoke about this off air earlier today.
They were visually a bit flat. I thought the first one
was really good. Okay. The second one, she was working. The one on her outside wasn't doing a lot, which was Gumdrops, who's a good horse. But I'm still pretty keen first up, Sandu Yard. Get him going. I just don't want to make her a loser because she has had that straight track run before and she was in the inferior going. So I still think...
Was that the Red Roses?
Yeah, she was batting that.
It was a Phillies race. Yes. Was it the one Mumbai Muse one?
Yeah.
I think that might have been the Red Roses.
And Mumbai Muse was like barrier
seven. Yeah. She was back to the inside. Yeah,
that's right. And so I don't want to make her a loser. I think first up, down the straight, will suit her. She's good horse.
I'm with you with Quanisha, Moesha. good against the pattern. Gets back, but I think can get sort of middle to outside, hopefully, from that barrier. I'd love Will to jump and just head right. And the other one I'm backing is Bonnie Amore, threw a maiden at Kyneton on a Tuesday. And the form in behind, like, beat Destiny's Prophet. Van Hinkum has had 28 starts and hasn't won. Mm. It's not the right form reference, but... The clock didn't lie. It was she only got off heels at the 200 and ran away from them like they were just absolute pieces of garbage, moth garbage.
She had that turn of foot that you want to see for a straight tracker.
It was literally on a dime.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good call.
It's a straight tracker. Yep. You know they're not probably going to go too quick. They'll bunch. Everyone will get their chance. She's the sort of one I tend to gravitate towards these runners doing straight races. Yep. So fair dart. Race number six. I should just say those odds quickly. So Moesha was 460. Your other tip, number seven, Bonnie Amore, 850. Race six, benchmark 84, 1,600 metres. Is this a little bit of a map play here, Sultan?
Yeah, no doubt. And I know on another wheel, Jamie Carr was positive last start. And I thought it was a grouse ride at Caulfield because he'd been getting back and that was the query. And then she made one work for Dennis Pagan. It wasn't Johnny Get Angry. It was another one. It was
Georgie Get Mad.
Yeah, that's something that was real pissed off. Something just gets a spray if it doesn't run well. But anyway, and then just camped off him and said, see you later. And look, another Will's the best horse in the race. Probably going to be positive again, but I just thought at $1.65 with Magnus Spin around that $6.50, he was deserving of a play because I'm very confident Blake Shin will go forward and lean on this horse because he's ready to peak. Now, he got worked over early on a very fast tempo last start. If you pick up the race from the 800, you think this guy's had every chance. He sat in the 1-1, he's peeled off. But he did a lot of early work. The other three that settled around him, straight out the back, clearly the best of the on-paces and only got swooped on. If you watch even Matt Hill got the call, got it wrong on the line. Mm. He looks like he's won from every single angle ever on every camera that's ever existed except the shutter camera at the finish. So he's pretty stiff there. He'll go forward. He's hard fit. And if that southerly's kicking up and he can sort of take off at the 1,000 and another wheel's got to spot him a couple of lengths, maybe he can do a number on the favourite here.
Yep. That is Magnus Spin and $6 there going. Against the well-fancied, another will. Mate, race 7, Inglis Sprint 3-year-olds, 1,200 metres. This race is only in its infancy, but it's an absolute corker in terms of...
It's an absolute race of life.
It is, isn't it? Well, I say it's an absolute corker, but I've sort of got it down to, I think there's only 3 genuine winning chances when I went through it.
It's an open race, yeah, but I know he's going to win.
It's an open race, but it's, yeah, this Estriella is, she's a gun. She's back.
Mm.
And she comes through that fastly run fillies race at Caulfield. She was able to sit off them and absolutely launch home 8.1 lengths inside benchmark last 600. Yes, got to the best part of the track, but just put them away in a blink of an eye, really.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
She's a great way to round out a group one day.
Yeah.
On the coverage.
Here he is. Just thank you for self-inserting yourself straight into my tip.
Nothing like inserting into yourself.
Yeah. She looks a different horse this prep, but she's come back, run a career peak figure. I'm pretty keen on her. I am scared of Cabalas. I feel like Bjorn Baker places it, like he won Overpass with this race 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And he
played. And that was just absolute placement. We saw
Osmosis in the Coolmore. Yeah. There's something about these colours, Bjorn Josh Baker, Parr. Josh Parr, yeah, straight races that I get a little bit petrified of, but she's different gravy, Estriella. I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
The only other one I'd give a chance to on the 7 day backup is Rhea Koki. Oh, I just like how she led, jumped to the front,
yeah,
ran him along. Don't know how she'll go in terms of the 7 day backup, but Estriella, $3.80 top sport for me.
I won't be leaving I'm not betting in the race. I won't be leaving Lazargo out of the quaddie. Wide draw, gets weight swing on Estriella. Fastest close. Estriella dropped her like a cold 4-2, but Lazargo was strong late. Bit more tempo here. But yeah, agree. It's, well, not agree. You think there's only 3 winning chances. I'll be going wide enough in the quaddie, but be cheering on Estriella for you and my on top selection.
I'm in quaddie form at the moment.
Yeah, Caulfield last week.
I'm in quaddie form at the
Sydney
moment.
Sydney last week.
I'm in quaddie form at the moment.
We had 900% of the Sydney quaddie last week. It's pretty good.
Yeah, one in each leg. Race 8, feature of the day. The Group 1 Australian Guineas for the 3-year-old, 1,600 metres. Legato won the race last year, Hitotsu in 2022. And as we spoke about at the top of the show, Luna Fox 301-1 in 2021. And Chris Waller, can you believe this, attempting to win his first Australian Guineas with Riff Rocket, Saltsy?
There you go.
How do you see the race unfolding from a speed perspective?
Well, the Robbie Lane Galloper, Hey Fat Cat, who I've been calling Hey Fit Cat on all the shows I'm
this
on.
This is so shit. I'm ghostwriting this bloke's material everywhere he goes. Call him this morning and say, hey, mate, what about... We'll just tell him about how much Hey Fat Cat is just... He's a form analyst nightmare because he throws, he could go
he's
back, he could miss the jump, he could go forward. He's the fly in the ointment of the speed map of this race. And I've said to Saltz, well, he's fit enough. In fact, I'm going to be calling him Hey Fit Cat all week. And Saltz goes, well, I'm going to wear first. So we'll see. This is just bullshit.
Well, there's a bit of form in terms of early speed from the Pendragon coming across from New Zealand. Can't win. Vedad will be a bit more forward. Hey Fat Cat led them up in the CS Hayes and was very good. But either side of the CS Hayes against the older horses has been slow away. But you'd think the instruction to Ethan Brown, another new rider for him, from a low draw will be jump and run because he's fit. He's on it's his 9th race in about 3 weeks. So he'll try and go forward and probably run them along like he did in the CS Hayes in the early stages, and Riff Rocket was able to close off that. So I found the tempo ambiguous. Verdad will try to be closer. V8's probably the map horse. Got some great options. Damian
definitely
Lane.
Definitely the map horse.
Tucks in behind them. But Riff Rocket through the CS Hayes, like, how do you make an argument that something turns the tables on him?
Yeah.
He drops 2.5 kegs set weights and penalties just like King Colorado does.
Well, that's the only thing with King Colorado shades going on
blinkers
first
on,
time.
Grand final.
Yeah, that seems like the only thing they've got left in their arsenal to turn the tables on Riff Rocket.
Yeah. He's first up Riff Rocket. King Colorado's come through the Manfred first up where he ran well for further. So, and all the yard watchers.
And the stable just like.
Yeah, well, like he's going to regress second up.
Yeah.
And the yard watchers were all over him first up. Apparently just come back an absolute treat. So he for me at this stage, because I've made a case for so many horses that I want to be on speed with, I can't bet him early at around the $2.50 because I don't know how the track's going to be playing.
Yeah, I understand that. I love what you said about the yard watches. I was listening to Stevie Arnold on RSN, and he rides Riff Rocket in track work pretty much every morning, and he works behind the barriers on RSN during race day, and he was reporting live. He's like, I can't believe how good this horse looks, and yeah. I ride it every day.
Yeah, so didn't even notice. Just tuned
just
up.
Absolutely tuned. Yeah. So, and you know he loves Flemington, that super impose win. I know. Delicious. Yeah. So I get where you're at. I'm backing Riff Rocket. Can't go past backing Riff Rocket. Like I just cannot see him regressing at all.
No.
The other horse I'm backing and at a price is Zip Away, $21. Yeah. So bit of a roughie. Had Snow Patrols back in the Autumn Stakes. Just wasn't sharp enough over 1,400. Group one, weight for age, placed in the Northerly over 1,800. Ratings suggest gets better up in trip. He's going to take plenty from that run first up in the Autumn Stakes. And it might not be the A1 form reference, but he's hasn't had a lot of time off. He's got that residual fitness. He's here for this race. So Zip Away, $21. I think it's $5 a place on Top Sport as well. He's going to be getting some of my specking, but Riff Rocket the main bet.
Yeah, and he gave the others weight in that Autumn Stakes.
Yep.
You know, that was set weights and penalties, and you know, he was the better performed horse. So I don't give that form line no hope either, because I thought Southport Tycoon, although Snow Patrol ran past him, he was just a bit keen and did a few things wrong. I don't think he's hopeless either. I'll be going. I know Riff Rocket, we've spoken about him very glowingly, and if I can see they make ground, he's the one I want to be with. But yeah, I'm not sending him out in Cordy by all means.
Well, we need to work out our Group 1 pissing contest play right now on the show.
Well, I'm happy to have something on Riff Rocket.
Yep.
Between the both of us, and what stake do you want on Zip Away?
Do we want to is it a race we want to be spending $100 in?
Oh, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're in front.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're just playing with theirs.
We get absolutely bullied if we don't.
Yeah. No, I reckon we do, yeah. Because if I see that make ground on the day, I'm going to back him. So
yeah,
that's the fallacy with betting early.
I'd like to go 70 Riff Rocket, 10 win Zip Away, 20 play Zip Away.
All right. I'll back you in.
Yeah. All right. Good. Like that. That's teamwork making the bloody dream.
Yeah,
work
that's a couple of blokes that can sort things out. Yeah,
that's how I reckon. That's how the best quaddies in the world are won as well. When people just get together and they just say, "Yep, throw it in. Yep, throw it in." And you, when you sit there and you craft your quaddie to a T and go in, I've never won one. It's all about just throwing darts, mate. This is welcome to the form show. welcome to our occupations. He was sinking into the chair like Homer Simpson. Race number 9, the Group 2 Blamey Stakes, set weights, penalties, 1,600 metres. Nonconformist won the race last year, Inspirational Girl in 2022. Hey, this is a tough race. I don't know if you stepped too much into it. I just started looking around at some double figure specking in here. And I'll tell you who I landed on, who I reckon's going good guns, and he's never been one of mine. He's never been one of mine, and it's Barclay Square. He looks.
You're telling me you've never backed him before?
I've never backed him before. You can go through every run sheet. Barclay Square in my life. He looks an improver through the Elms. So the race was won by Macram, who people are liking it around. Was he $9? I think Macram.
Who led that day?
I'm not sure. I can't remember. The race hasn't been spoken about enough. Oh, Jimmy Starr. That's
right. Yeah.
But he gets a 2 kilo weight swing on Macram, and out to 1,600 metres, a big tick. What I like the most is jumped out well prior to that first up run and then through the line and beyond the line. This is watching the vision. He's absolutely eating it up. So still might be a run short, but I'm going to 1/3 Barclay Square because I think he'll be savaging the line 1,600 metres.
That is a difficult race,
mm-hmm.
a very difficult race. Respect your opinion. I personally, watching that replay, if you leave out the starting price of Macram, because he's a horse I've found in the past second up.
His profile is horrific.
He often...
Starting price profile.
Yeah, yeah. He often jumps out... he often... He's poor first up. Then they gap his run, sending him back to the jump out so he can improve second up. So to do what he did first up, I've heard Ben Hay saying that he's more relaxed at home. He conserves himself a bit better. Like I looked at that race and I was like, how do you make an argument that something turns the tables on this thing?
Mm.
It was a pretty impressive win.
Yeah. It's just he's been so Like, not that Barkley Square is an absolute foolproof force. But
he's a bit inconsistent.
He's always had a little bit of X factor about him, Makram, but he's just never put it together.
Yeah.
But in saying, I'd like to see him.
He always wins at a price at Flemington.
I'd like to see him put two good runs.
He won Anzac Day one day, $17. He won $31 on a Saturday. Yeah. He's $900.
I looked through. This was after the run doing the review show. I think he's only started in single figure odds on one or maybe two occasions since he's been in Australia, and one of them was, I think, when he was first up here in a lower grade. So his SP profile absolutely sticks. Yeah. Race number 10. Jeez, we've nearly had a bet in every race here. I think units could tip the card.
Oh, this is what the fans want.
Yeah, race 10, benchmark 84, 1,400 metres. There's a John Leake horse here named after you, and also Aaron Bay.
Yeah, so obviously hot. Oh, fuck.
He's dropped the F-bomb. Well,
look, I've just got to cop that. I've just been called frigid in a video. I guess I've got to cop that. So I'm with Frigid here. The talk was that Hutchie wasn't frigid in high school.
Really?
Today. Yeah, so I can believe that. But, mate, the jump outs are down the back at Cram, Pakenham. I love that this horse is grey because you could see it.
Oh, mate.
But no, we talk about it too much. We've got to keep moving.
We can't let it go.
We've got to keep moving. But the recent, it's had three jump outs. You should have seen the recent jump out. There was a tearaway leader and then it got ridden like it was the Australian Cup to find the line. I've never seen anything like it in a jump out. This thing is going to be that fit. He gets some fit, John Leake Jr. as well. How many rides off the top of your head has Damien Lane had for John Leake Jr.? Don Leake Duna.
I'm pretty sure Tatum Bull rides them all, so I can't all wear a moopin.
Naught.
Yeah.
First up today, Damien Lane in the saddle on a group one day at Flemington. Mm. That's not just happened by chance. This thing's flying at home. And she can sprint on fast or slow tempos and drawn barrier three. I'll have some of that. And I'll also have some of the four Aaron Bay. Actually backed him at a big price first up. And it won't show in the form guide, but relative to his price, it was actually a really good run because he was back in a race that was controlled on speed and wide and was the best of the closers. I thought he was actually really stiff to miss a placing that day. Now a senior goes on second up, good second up record, drawn softer, can go more forward. I'm actually really keen one of those win the last. He's my best value on the program, Frigid. And Aaron Bay is another horse that I'm keen to back.
They've both had some form of specking and they're both into 650 now on Top Sports, same price. Ooh. So let's see, that rounds out the Flem card. Royal Randwick, we're going to preview just a couple of races up there.
Yeah.
The big dogs.
that was
like a chihuahua. Randwick, I expect the track to be pretty fair
there. I'm expecting it to be fair. Now it's 35 odd degrees there tomorrow. Naught to 6 mils race day, but if they get that and it's 35 and windy the day before, it probably wants it.
Mm-hmm. Race 7, the Group 1 Very Elegant Stakes, weight for age 1600 metres, formerly the Chipping Norton, of course. How are you seeing this race unfold, Saltzy? Because we spoke last week and I was keen, Mr. Brightside, $1.50.
Well, it was your bet of the week.
Well, it was. And I said,
I bullied you out of it. But what did your best bet end up doing?
We spoke about.
No, I actually didn't know.
I don't even know what it was.
He was your best bet.
It was.
He was your best bet.
Spoke about price being king, $1.50 for Mr. Brightside, $55. And I said, it's value, like, because he just puts himself into a race.
Yeah.
Fangirl opens up $1.30. There's a questionable forecast around Sydney and she's a back marker. Jeez, that's short.
She's too short.
Like, I'm not saying lay Fangirl and she gets beaten, but she has in the past failed second up after returning in really good order.
Yeah.
So it doesn't profile like a bet you'd want to take at $1.30. So we have to look around.
Yeah, it's not a bet at $1.30. It's not a bet at $1.50. Now, she was fantastic first up.
Yep.
They were out good. They bunched up on the bend. And she trucked up. So at the stage of the race where the leaders take off, you have to do work. She was just able to cruise into it, cruise control. She was untouched. Don't get me wrong, it was impressive.
Can I just make mention of this before we go in? And race shape and understanding this is so important. And I know we keep drawing parallels between Fangirl and Mr. Brightside as our two best middle distance horses.
Yeah.
But if you compare Fangirl's race shape first up, where they went out hard, then they came back and she could slingshot off them, tick. Then you look at the CF4 with Mr. Brightside, where they go slow, ramp up from the 1,000, and he has to chase. That is such a bigger win, in my view, than what Fangirl did first up.
Terrific point, and I have to agree. And basically calling her the best horse in Australia off the back of a race shape to suit, this guy's anytime, anywhere. That he was ridden to be beaten first up. They rode against him. They took off from the 1,000. He was the only horse to make ground. Terrific win. He's still the best mile or middle distance horse in Australia till mine, until she takes it off him. She's too short on the weekend. I didn't mind Lindemann first up as a gelding in that race, and he didn't get a good ride. He ended up taking a sit, and then he just completely got held up. He would have run second, that I have little doubt. So on the weekend again, you got Just Fine drawn in. Lindemann clears Navajo Peak and Think It Over. He let Think It Over in last week, and that put him back the fence, and then the race went around him, and that's where he lost second placing. So Tim Clark sticks. He has to go forward. Maybe first up they don't lead on Just Fine. Maybe he can cross. But I'm keen that he crosses Think It Over and Navajo Peak based on what we've seen last start. And if he's up on speed and Fangirl's dragged right back from a wide draw, which is, it's what she does.
It's what's going to happen.
He runs a placing on the weekend. He could beat her. Unlikely, but he could, and I'm going to have something on the win. But he runs a placing, and I'm very confident about that.
This is tortured minds because – and we do this completely separately. And I've,
well, there's no collusion
there's
here.
There's zero collusion, and we're happy to go against each other if we are. But I honestly think Lindemann, $2.80, the place on Top Sport, is one of the best place bets going around.
I've won by 9 him.
Oh, it's back.
Yes. Well, I don't even know the math, but I've had 0.25 units on him to win, but I've had 1.5 units on him to place, and I 10-90'd him on the group ones earlier today.
Yep. So we're 10-90'ing him now because I've got a golden rule. Is I will never just have a lone place bet, even though I think it's the best place bet. Because if Lindemann wins and you've just gone all out on the place, you actually, morally, you still lose.
Well, it's a surefire way to call the crisis helpline, the mental health crisis helpline. Because if it wins, you just honestly...
Oh, I couldn't agree
you
more.
You know, I don't want to be too dramatic here, but you think about whether or not it's worth going on.
I'm with you, mate.
Wait, if he won on the week and we backed in place only, we'd give it up.
Yeah.
We're 10 by 9.
There'd be a week off the
podcast. It's the new best thing. You started it. We're 10 by 9. 10 by 9 for life. All right. Love that shit.
Let's do it. 1 by 9. $10 Lindemann to win. $90 the place for the Group 1 pissing contest. 1
by 9, not 10 by 9.
10 by 9. Freak better.
Old 10 by 9er.
Yeah. The second of the Group 1s on the card is the Group 1 Surround Stakes for the 3-year-old fillies. Mate, I love this race.
I was going to say the exact same thing. I love this race. Yeah. It is an absolute race.
Yeah, it is. It's a proper race. And when I saw Trav Noonan Likely Fields go up mondayracing.com, there was blood in it. Oh, I'm not going to lie.
There was more than blood in it. I got wet patch in the drops.
Nah, that's fair enough. Annabelle Neesham, no stranger to the race. She won it last year with Sunshine in Paris and has Learning to Fly as the favoured runner here at 3:10 with Top Sport. The Light Fingers is the general form reference that you'd use for this particular race. But there are some good little angles outside of that as well with runners coming from Victoria and the likes. Yep. And you're sort of thinking that train of thought there, so I might let you assess the race.
Well, yeah, let's start with dissecting the Light Fingers. Komochi was good. And, you know, Komochi ties in some horses from Victoria, Roland Hyde, through that Desirable Stakes. But Learning the Fly was the run of the race. Now, she was beaten by the barrier.
And the ride.
It was terrific ride. Yeah. One of the best losing rides you'll see. Had to drag back from that gate. First up, long spell. Cut the corner. But it wasn't a race that was really set up for things to be flashing home. So I thought it was a terrific run. Now she's drawn to just be that little bit closer. And we've seen from her two-year-old days, she's a winner. She is a line finder. Second up 1,400 metres, I'll have some of that. She's the one for me that I want to take out of the Light Fingers. But I reference Komochi and form around some Victorians. Well, in that Desirable Stakes, the one that gave Winburn, albeit pattern on side, to Komochi and subsequent 1,000 guineas winner Jolly Star, was Roll on High. And she's done nothing wrong at the jump outs. She's first up. The others have had a run under her belt. But she is a horse that after she won that desirable at Flemington, I put a big underline under and said, I want to see where this thing gets to in the autumn because it could be the best filly in Australia.
She's nominated for about 7 enormous races as well, like coming up throughout the autumn. So you got to have a high opinion of a horse like this, of a filly like this. To be throwing.
Yeah, Billy Egan's a book to ride as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm having something on her. Roll on High the 10 and Learning to Fly the main bet.
Yep, I'm with you, Learning to Fly. Don't want to make her a loser. And she is aptly named too, so it's because she's almost learning to fly again since Golden Slippergate. Like, let's be fair.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for, I'm a believer in the second up off a long layoff, that second up syndrome. I'm actually a believer in that. I'm trepidatious around that. So for me, that is a bit of a query. But just given how well she's come back, she's been up since the spring, 3 trials, that sort of negates that theory a little bit with her. So I'm making her a winner, definitely. But I'm also prepared to back Arctic Glamour at $17. Oh, I feel like she's completely forgotten in this market. SP'd 650 in the light fingers. She was just a touch unbalanced when the sprint went on, but she did pick up again. She ran the fastest last 200 meters of the entire meeting in that light fingers. So out to 1400 meters, second up, big ticks for her. She's $17 top sport.
Yeah, she was also very good in the Caulfield Guineas when it was playing hard fence as well. So think, she'll be charging.
I respect her. You and I had this discussion. It would have been like 6 weeks out from the Caulfield Guineas when she won in Sydney. You and I were like, well, there's Caulfield Guineas, there's Guineas horse. Like, that's her. And then she had a slight setback, I believe.
Thousand guineas.
So she had a slight setback in that preparation prior to the Thousand Guineas.
Yeah, I'm not sure it was a setback. She just ran flat as a favourite. Yeah,
but something in the vets. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I've got anyway, a high. Yeah, yeah. I've got a high opinion. She's a good horse. I've got a high opinion of her. So, yeah, that's Arctic Glamour, Learning to Fly, both winners for me. Unit of the week time. Willie Johnston is back, and he's back in video format because it's the video podcast, Salts.
I like it. Face to the name.
Yeah, it is. He had a good win last week. He went to Doomben and was on Boom Talk. I think Boom Talk won and was also a ring bearer in the wedding. Actually, he might have been best man, Boom Talk. I'm not sure. I'll have to check the footage. I'm sure.
Does anyone oppose this marriage? And he said, nay. So they went ahead with it.
That's not bad. He is Big Willie Johnston, and this is what he likes this week.
This week, again, nothing too complicated. Keeping it short. Keeping it sweet again. We're heading down to Sydney, race number 2. We've got a pretty exciting sprinter coming up in the way of our Kobe Sun. Moravia looks pretty smart as well. Took on pretty good company, but from the inside barrier, J-Mac back on, replacing that cat, Karen McAvoy. I think he'll just be too good for him. Onwards and upwards from here into some pretty good company. So, again, no top spot odds, but I think we're about $1.90, $1.95 elsewhere. Maybe might get the Sultan special, some good shopping around. We might even get $2, who knows. Giddy up, boys. See you next week.
All right, Big Willie. He likes our Kobe Sun and the 4X singlet. Jeez, look nice out horse. The top.
Yeah. Leah Redden's parents in that.
Really?
Yeah, nice horse. Nice horse. He's got the 4X on. You're going to have the couple of mangoes. Yeah. What's the saying? Back the good thing, baby.
Yeah, that's it. That was it, yeah.
BT.
Oh, there was some.
GB.
There was some.
Something like that.
Outrageous acronym.
Yeah, I liked it though.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
Give it to us again if our Cobison wins. Two units time, best bets. Let's recap our best bets heading into the weekend. I'm too scared to go a 1-9 place bet, Salts, even though I do believe the place is the best play. But I will say Estriella is my best winning chance of the weekend in race 7, the English Sprint at Flemington.
Yeah, my best of the first at Flemington. Let's not stuff around. I'll be on the road. Goddamn, I hope I have some reception to watch this because Sanders, the track specialist, just goes boom.
Where Where are you on the road?
I'm just heading off to Mount Beauty for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Nice. I'm going to Phillip Island this weekend, actually. Yeah.
What are you doing down there? Penguins?
I'm taking the missus away, the wife away, before she becomes a footballing widow for the next 20-odd weeks.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So she'll... Yeah. Yeah. So that'll be good. Yeah, probably just see the fairy penguins, though, and probably just be turning it sideways.
Yeah, no shit. You won't actually see a penguin.
Nah, at all. I'll probably back a few, but I won't actually see one with my own eyes in IRL, in real life. That's what we used to say back in the day.
Outstanding. Well, mate, the first video show, let's hope that it gets some track. Let's hope the listeners get around it.
Yeah, get around it.
You want some feedback in the analytics, don't
you? Yeah, we do.
And the premier. This is the premier video podcast horse racing in Australia.
Anything we can do to up the production, let us know. We've got these new $38,000 cameras, which you can't see because they're recording from them.
Yeah, so. You claim them on tax, though.
Yeah, no doubt. So I'll see you all the very best this weekend. Listeners, enjoy. What a terrific weekend of racing. And we'll be back in your ears next week on the Two Units Potty.
Take it easy.